Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
And hello, everyone. Good to be with you here on Home and Family Finance. It is all of those things, and it is your show designed to help with those issues that come up that involve our home, our family, and our finances. And what doesn't involve our finances? Everything we do in every possible way, finances come into play in some form or fashion. And so we're very pleased to ask you that question we ask every week. Are you financially fit? If you're not, what we talk about today hopefully will help you in that direction. Being financially fit, there's nothing like it, folks. Clarity of mind, at peace with yourself, feeling good, and it doesn't make any difference whether you are civilian, military, wherever you may be, being financially fit is such a pleasure. And no one knows that any better than my guest today, because they two of them are involved in the military, and that is Bill Rausch, who is executive director at Got Your Six. He'll explain that program. And then James Lander, who is going to join us because coming up next week is Military Saves Week. Very important part of that as it relates to being financially fit. And finally, we're going to talk with Barbara Vinier. She is president of Chesapeake College on the Eastern Shore. And we're going to talk about the role that education is now playing, the cost of education, and the role that community colleges play in offering an alternative. All of that straight ahead. But first, we're going to start with Bill Rausch. He's executive director of Got Your Six. He's a former Army major with over 10 years of service, including 17 months in Iraq, serving under General Casey and Petraeus while assigned to the Information Operations Task Force. And prior to joining GY6, Bill was political director at Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, where he oversaw policy and advocacy campaigns. We're pleased to have him on the program today, especially following our show last week. We did an hour show, Bill, where we encouraged veterans, both the active and former, to avail themselves of services that are designed to keep them from doing harm to themselves. As you know, and I certainly know, 22 veterans will commit suicide at some point in the next 24 hours. And so we're shining a light on this to see if we can't make some dent. We can't solve the problem, but we know if we get you involved, that means my audience, people actively involved, we can come up with solutions. Welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you on the show.
Great to be here. Thanks.
This program, Got Your Six, is an alternative. It is a place to go. It is a good thing. Explain what this is.
Well, Got Your Six is a national campaign. And the national campaign is focused on bridging the civilian and military divide that exists in our country, and we do that a couple of ways. One, through empowering our veterans and strengthening the communities. And what we realize is that there are two sides of the same coin. I mean, you know, we have a decline in community across the country, and veterans, those men and women leaving the military, hundreds of thousands every year, have a unique value proposition to the communities at a local and at a state level, to be leaders, team builders, and problem solvers, and frankly, lead a revival of community across the country, which very few other folks are prepared and qualified to do, like veterans.
And you know what? You said something right off the bat, and let's get that cleared up. How can there be a divide between our veterans and the civilian population? The veterans are us. We are them. These are our sons, our daughters, our wives, our husbands, our children, our grandchildren. These are us who have vowed to, who've taken the vow to come in and serve and protect us, right?
No, absolutely. And so it's an interesting question. Why is there a divide? Is there a divide? And what we know, obviously, you know, 1% of the population serve in uniform. But what we also know is that the issues facing our military and our veteran community are not too dissimilar from the issues that face the entire country. And so you mentioned earlier that 22 veterans die by suicide every day. That is, in fact, the case. But there are 118 suicides a day across America. And so the issues that we face as veterans are not dissimilar from the issues that face the broader community, which is why we believe there's a unique opportunity for us as veterans to stand up and to lead and to tackle these issues, because who better? whether you've served in Iraq, Afghanistan, peacetime, wartime, it doesn't matter. A young man or woman who joins the military is given extreme responsibility at a young age and are set up for success. And that's why they're excellent leaders, team builders, and problem solvers. And so, again, coming out of the military and going back to our small towns and big cities, we have a unique opportunity to make our country and our community amazing. And, oh, by the way, it helps us individually deal with some of the challenges that we have through transition and ultimately empowers us like your program's trying to do.
Absolutely, Bill. And the thing that you point out here is that many of these vets are young kids who came out of high school. They've not been molded in any other way except by the military, which does a wonderful job of advocating for responsibility and being getting your job done. And they come out and they're there, and if you just use them, understand who they are, and make use of them, they make wonderful employees. They're wonderful leaders.
Well, we are, and you know, there's nobody I you know put up against a veteran in terms of, you know, an ability to get the job done in very extreme circumstances. I mean, think about what we put, you know, some of these young people through, again,
absolutely,
regardless of their situation. But also it focuses on an interesting fact, which is, you know, and I spent some time in the private sector at a startup that was very successful in a larger firm, and it's expensive to train people. And when people don't stay or when you hire the wrong individual, which is often the case, there's an expense related to that. And the great thing about hiring a veteran, specifically as it relates to our campaign, is you don't have to worry about that individual doing the right thing. Their value set is where they need to be. Their work ethic is where they need to be. Their ability to, again, adapt and overcome, it's all there, which is why it's important that we empower our veterans, because they do strengthen the community, whether the community is a company, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's a family. Think about our own family situations. You know, an empowered member of the family strengthens the family as well. So it is a unique opportunity.
It sure is. Look, when we come back, Bill's going to tell us what makes Got Your Six unique and what you can do to be involved. We really appreciate him being with us. Bill Rausch, Executive Director of Got Your Six. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Bill Rausch is my guest. He's Executive Director at Got Your Six, former Army Major with over 10 years of service, including 17 months in Iraq. Didn't forget when he got out of service. Thought about the military, thought about these young men and women that we take in, train, and then, of course, we send them back into the communities. And that's where, I guess, Got Your Six kind of got your attention. Is that right, Bill?
Absolutely. I mean, Got Your Six is about getting ones back. And, you know, taking care of men and women in uniform is something I loved while I was in the Army, and I love doing it now that I'm out of uniform.
So talk to me. What is Got Your Six? Explain it specifically so my audience understands what it is and how they can be helpful.
Well, again, you know, we're a national campaign, and I mentioned the bridging the civilian-military divide and empowering veterans and strengthening communities, but, you know, we do that a couple of different ways. One, we unite our nonprofit partners, entertainment partners, and government partners to make sure that we are communicating to the entire country that veterans are leaders, team builders, and problem solvers. Most Americans, based off of research, think that veterans are either broken or that we're heroic, when in fact most of us, the lion's share of us, are neither. And so we have to educate and inform the American people about the value proposition. And so we do that by engaging our entertainment partners to make sure that veterans are accurately portrayed in Hollywood. That makes us very unique. But we also leverage nonprofit partners. We have 30 best-in-class nonprofit partners who make up a Got Your Six coalition, and they're doing amazing work across the country. Organizations like Team Red, White, and Blue, Team Rubicon, the Tillman Foundation, others. And they are reinforcing the national narrative that we are persisting through our entertainment partners, and they're doing it at the grassroots level. But I think most uniquely as it relates to Got Your Six, we ultimately are focused on that resurgence of community that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, in order to have a successful country and a successful nation, we need to have an engaged community, folks who know their neighbors, folks who volunteer, folks who vote, serve on the school board, and we know that veterans are more civically minded than those who haven't served. And so we're trying to tap into that to bring a resurgence.
As a Vietnam vet, folks, I understand exactly what Bill is talking about. And by the way, the term got your six is a military term. It says, I got your back. I got you covered. I'm looking out for you. So people who are hearing this, who want to get involved, tell us how they can reach out to you and then what they can do to be helpful, Bill.
Well, what they can do is they can go to our website, gotyoursix.org. They can sign up. There's a portion of our website that actually is dedicated to what they can do. And some things are really simple. You can read a book about the military. You can volunteer with a veteran organization, including Got Your Six, one of our nonprofit partners. You can also, frankly, you can go out and get to know a veteran. And that's one of the biggest things that you can do. And if you're a veteran or if you're a service member that's listening right now, get to know somebody who isn't exposed to the military culture and just get to know them and build a genuine relationship. The best way to bridge that divide is through genuine, trusted relationships, and that's something we can all work on.
And I let me just also say to folks, I don't know where we're headed as a nation in this crazy world we live in, but I got to tell you something that I believe is true, is that we're going to need our veterans in every form or fashion as we continue through this more interesting and if sometimes difficult time in the world. So getting to know a veteran, being involved with a veteran is a very important part of it, isn't it?
It is. And again, you know, none of us are born veterans, right? And so it's really important when we go back into the community that folks know that we're just like them, and yet we have a unique skill set and a unique opportunity. Again, whether it's through employment, whether it's through volunteer work, whether it's, again, just leveraging on the fact that we're great leaders, team builders, and problem solvers, and we want to serve. I mean, one of the best things that we can do as individuals is continue to serve, and frankly, that keeps us on track better than anything based on my own personal experience.
Bill, a pleasure to have you. Once again, tell us how we can reach out to you.
GotYourSix.org.
Simple as that, folks. Make a difference. Get involved. Bill, thanks for joining us. Come back and talk to us again soon, would you?
Absolutely.
Okay, my man. Coming up next, James Lander. You remember him from Military Saves? He remembers you. He'll be next on the program. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network. You're listening to Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors, the Defense Credit Union Council and the Credit Union National Association. We thank them for their continued support of this program dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers, making all of us financially fit. And the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically, and go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And speaking of the Savers Pledge, as you know, each time of the year, there is a Military Saves Week. And to that end, we're going to visit with an old friend, James Lander, who's been here each year for several, as we remind everybody, both military and civilian, that it is Military Saves Week coming up the week of 21st of February throughout. But as you just heard me talk about the DCUC, the Defense Credit Union Council, saving is something we ought to do year-round. And I'm very pleased to invite James Lander to the program. James, nice to have you back on the show again. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate you guys being such great supporters of Military Saves.
Absolutely. You know, and in that vein, I want to just tie in my first guest today. Bill Rausch is here from Got Your Six, which is a wonderful organization. And let me just say to because I got several calls already from audiences saying we're having difficulty. Six is not the spelled out S-I-X. It's the number six. You know that too, don't you, James? You know about this organization.
Yes, Got Your Six has been great when working with veterans and amplifying sort of message of supporting veterans and military families, bridging the gap between civilian and military life.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So if you're trying to reach out to Got Your Six, make sure it's the letters, it's the number six and not spelled out six for their campaign. And speaking of campaigns, Military Saves Week 2016. Talk to us about what you're doing and what have you achieved. I know you're striving for a lot of folks. How are you doing this year?
Well, Paul, we actually had a very successful year last year. We had the most pledges we've ever had, over 36,000.
Wow.
Yes, we had those are folks who are new to taking a pledge and folks who have repledged. And so we're excited. We have a lot of momentum this year for 2016. Our goals are service specific, so each branch of the service has a different goal. Our Army folks have jumped out of the box and are leading the way with over 4,000 pledges as of today. The total for the campaign, all branches of service, is approaching 6,000. And our total goal is to reach 50,000 pledges this year. We were about 14,000 short of that last year, and we want to reach 50,000 pledges this year. So we have some new interesting things I'll share with you, but that is our goal for this year, and we're excited to pursue it.
Okay, this is military everywhere, all over the world. They're all supposed to participate, and you're hoping that they all do play a role in this, right?
Absolutely, and it's the military community, Paul, which excites us. It's folks who are in uniform, their spouses and children over 14, and DOD civilians and contractors who support those who serve our country. So we're leaving no stone unturned, and we want them all involved.
Now, who's endorsing Military Saves Week 2016?
Well, we're excited this year. We got a video from Chief Master Sergeant Mitchell Brush and his wife, Blair Brush. We are expanding our outreach. As I said, we want the military community to be involved, so we have expanded our outreach to be more deliberate in our communication with the National Guard and the Reserves. And so in addition to the endorsement video we got from the Brushes, we also got an endorsement quote from Lieutenant General Jeffrey Talley, wow, who is the Chief of the Army Reserve and Commanding General for the U.S. Army Reserve. So we're really excited that we're broadening our outreach into the military community.
And this year's theme is very simple and very direct. What is it?
Save automatically. That's what it is. Paul, you know, we all tend to connect sometimes our savings account to a checking account for overdraft protection and things like that. And what we talk about with Save Automatically is encouraging folks to set up a separate savings account just for saving.
Okay, well, here's the deal. When we come back, we'll talk about that aspect of it and what happens after taking the pledge. This is Home and Family Finance. My guest, James Lander, of the wonderful program Military Saves Week 2016. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us. This is Home and Family Finance.
You be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
I'm excited. It's Military Saves Week, folks. Military Saves is starting today, starting Sunday the 21st, right through this week. This is an emphasis on what you ought to be doing all year. My guest, James Lander, who is the director of Military Saves, he's with us. He was just talking to us about this. I like this idea of automatic. Then you don't have to worry about it doing it. If you just set it up, it just so much comes out every week or every month. Is that the way it works?
Yes, Paul. That's the idea. And you think small, or you start small and you think big. And so you put a little aside, you forget about it, and over a period of time you've built up a nice little savings account that you can use for emergencies or large purchases.
Makes perfect sense, folks. By the way, let me give you some goals. Army, 20K. Navy, 10, by the way, K means 1,000. Okay, Army, 20,000. Navy, 10,000. Air Force, 15,000. And Marines, 5,000. If you do all of that, we're going to make it to 50,000. But you know what? You don't have to stop there. If everybody jumps in here, we'll do much more than that. And I hope, James, that we can come back and say we broke the record. So let's hope that happens, okay?
Absolutely.
Now, what happens after taking the pledge?
Well, this year, I'm excited to announce that we have a text messaging service that we're going to offer to military savers for the first time in 2016. And this is a way to have savers who take the military savings pledge to get reminders and tips about the goal that they have identified in the pledge that they want to save for. And the top goals have been retirement, have been emergency fund, have been education, and reducing debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the top goals folks have identified. And then we have a category for sort of some of the other goals that are identified in the pledge. But the number of people who have identified them aren't as high. But this text messaging service is great because savers who get reminders about saving are more successful or save more money than those who don't.
And if somebody wants to know more about it, where do they go, James? How do we find out more about this program? Give us an email. Go ahead.
MilitarySaves.org. That is the website. MilitarySaves.org, which is a component of AmericaSaves.org. So if you're in the military or you're connected with the service in some way, we want you to be a part of Military Saves. But if you're an everyday citizen and you say, well, I'm not really connected with the military, but man, you know, savings is important to me, go to AmericaSaves.org. And there's an opportunity for you to take the pledge, get text messaging reminders there too. So we're really excited to be expanding the outreach so that it's not just about
Yeah.
What happens next?
Well, let me make sure people understand. If you're not in the military but you want to participate in the program, they've developed a way for you to do that, and that's called AmericaSaves.org, right?
AmericaSaves.org, yes, sir.
Now, would they get a text or no? Is that arranged a little differently than the text messaging that you're doing?
Absolutely. The text messaging actually platform started with America Savers,
okay.
And we saw how successful it is, so we wanted to make it available to the military savers also.
And this money that you save is your money that you can come back and use for a variety of things. I think that's very important. We're not asking you to give to somebody. We're asking you to look after yourself. I mean, that's very simple, isn't it?
It is. And to encourage folks to get involved with the text messaging service this year, we have a $500 drawing that we're going to do once a month for the next 3 months. So we're even going to contribute $500 towards someone's goal that they have identified. So this is a really good opportunity that you got to take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's an incentive in here as well. And I know you said 50,000 was your goal, pledges, but I think you'd be happy to break that that goal.
Absolutely. We just set that hopefully as the floor, and the ceiling hopefully is a lot higher than that.
Well, you know, it's just such an important part and such an important thing to do. From your perspective, we're talking about Military Saves Week, but you're really looking at this as Military Saves all the time, aren't you?
Absolutely. This is a year-long campaign. The week, Military Saves Week, is an opportunity for us to increase our visibility and awareness of the things that we're doing and the initiatives that we want to put in place for the rest of the year. But as you know, Paul, savings isn't a instant gratification exercise. It's something that you do over a period of time. And so we want to support and encourage folks to save all year long.
Yeah, I can't. The folks are just so important. As we talked about at the beginning of the program, my program is based on financial education to you. No hidden agendas. We don't do politics. We don't do what we talk to you about are things that have a direct impact on your life by doing the right thing, by becoming financially fit. And whether you're a civilian or whether you're military, save. It's just so very basic. It works to your advantage, and especially in the military, because you can't really be fit for your role there, for what your job is, if you're worried about your dollars, if you're worried about your family, if you're worried about things that have a direct impact on your life. You just can't, you really can't do your job. You can't be mission ready if you're not financially. But James, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. It's always a pleasure. And don't forget all the folks out there to take the Military Saves Pledge, and we'll talk again soon, Paul. Thank you.
All right, folks. Do what you got to do. I'm going to have James come back after a couple of months to tell us that we beat this pledge. As a matter of fact, he'll call me when they've beaten the pledge, and we'll have him on the program to talk about it. Okay, coming up next, education. I'm in debt, college education. But what about community college? Could I have saved myself? Interesting person coming up to talk about the importance of community colleges here on the wonderful Home and Family Finance Program.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And as you know, much of our show so far has been about savings. But let me tell you another way of saving that some of us may not think about. Certainly I didn't, and right now I'm in debt up to my eyeballs because I've paid for three of my children's college educations, terms of big money that we spent sending them to schools of their choice. What probably could have saved me a lot of money, and if I had just been more, more diligent about deciding these things, I could have sent them to colleges in the neighborhood or in the area called community colleges where they could have started, for instance. But, you know, everybody wants to go to the big schools, and the big schools have cost a lot of money. One of the schools that I am thinking about this morning is a nearby school to where I live called Chesapeake College. You have a college near you, what's called a community college. And these schools are headed by dynamic educators. Chesapeake College, which is across the bridge into the Eastern Shore, is headed by President Barbara A. Vinier. She is, well, I won't even get into her resume, which is pages long, but we know her for her work over there, and we know her for the school that she's running. Her leadership experience is just unqualified. It's wonderful. And she is concerned, as she has a right to be, about obtaining funding and making sure that these colleges get their fair share. She joins us now I think she's in Annapolis, where she's dealing with the politicians to make them aware of the importance of the college. Welcome to the program, Barbara. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Paul.
If I ask you to tell me your biggest problem today facing the college, what is it?
Well, I think you're expecting me to say money, and I probably would, because there are so many demands on us, and we have students who need lots of extra help to succeed in college and get a good job, and all of the things that they need take resources. And what we've seen over the last several years is a decline in public support, and then we end up just passing more of the burden along to students. So finding the resources is my number one challenge.
And finding the colleges, because they're there, can soon be the challenge of young people who are looking for an alternative to the state colleges or the Ivy League schools or wherever our ego thinks we want to go. I submit you can get just as good an education at a community college as you can at any of the major colleges or bigger colleges. Is that a fair statement?
I think you can get better. So that's the president of a community college speaking. But the reason for that is what you will find at a community college is much smaller classes and teachers whose number one job is teaching. And so they're not there to write, and they're not there to do research. They are there because they love to teach. And our students are often very surprised when they leave the community college and they go to a big public university or even an Ivy League, and they're in a room with 300 students, and they need binoculars to see the professor, and you don't find that at a community college. The curriculum is the same. So if you're planning to transfer, you are following the same curriculum and taking the same general education, whether it's English, math, history, political science, social science. You're taking the same courses, and you are fully qualified to transfer.
And let's talk about the dollar difference. I can tell you how much it cost me to send my son to, Franklin and Marshall. It was $56,000 a year. Do you have such a dollar figure?
You would have to go to Chesapeake College for many, many, many years to spend that kind of money. The tuition and fees alone at a community college are between $3,000 and $4,000. add books. You can go to a community college for $5,000 a year. And then, of course, you're living at home, so you were still going to have to feed him and maybe pay for the gas in his car. But the cost, there is no comparison. And that's why so many people do choose community colleges for their first 2 years, because of the savings. And in the end, if your son had gone to Chesapeake for 2 years and then to Franklin and Marshall, he still has a Franklin and Marshall degree. We hope he would remember where he started, and we're counting on our alumni to support us. But in the end, you get that degree that you wanted. So there's no difference in the end between you and the student who went to Franklin and Marshall for all 4 years.
I know the answer, but I want you to say, what drives us then to decide that we're going to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars, in my case for Paul? Now, fortunately, he did have a scholarship. He was one of my children did, and one did not. But still, at the end of the day, it was $200,000 plus. What drives us to do that when we could walk down the? Is it really about ego? Is it really about prestige? What is it that drives us to these colleges that are charging so much more than a friendly community college?
Well, Paul, I think it's a variety of things. Now, for some students, it's having the residential experience. And there are actually community colleges that have dorms and can provide that for students. We don't. But I think for some students, they are ready to go away. They want that independence. They want the whole package that they think of as college. They want football teams.
Yeah.
We have a lot of athletic teams, but not football. And for some, I think it's a lack of knowledge. They just don't know that the community college can provide them the same quality education. And so they assume that only a four-year college can lead them toward a pre-law or pre-med or the job of their choice. And that's just not true.
I know that you were in Annapolis recently to talk about this. What's the purpose of your meetings in Annapolis?
I've been in Annapolis every day, and each day is a variation on a theme, which is basically to say we can't do everything Maryland needs us to do, and I think you would find this replicated in every state. Mm-hmm. We can't meet everything our local economy, our regional economy, our state economy needs if we don't have the adequate resources. And what we're ending up doing is, as I said before, passing that burden along to students, and then the students who need it most can't come. And that's kind of a waste of opportunity, certainly for them, but also for us.
Barbara, we're talking with, obviously she is Dr. Vigneault, Barbara Vigneault, who is head of the college here, but we want to break it down so that you feel comfortable in listening to a human being who happens to be the leadership of a college, the leader of a college, talking to you about this particular school. Two questions come to mind. Are there enough people that want to go to school? And how many schools are out there? When we come back, we'll ask Barbara to answer those questions and how you can reach out. If you're a parent, you may want to start, think about this. Let's start here, honey, and then we'll go to the big school. Why not? We'll talk about some of those issues. And then we'll ask Al, who's our engineer, who also teaches at one of the schools, to join us in terms of his experience. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back. Listening to Home and Family Finance, I am your host, Paul Berry. My guest, Dr. Barbara Vigneault, who is president of Chesapeake College on the Eastern Shore. She's here talking about the choice that you have to go to college. She's also talking about the possibilities of tuition-free at some point. Why do we charge people to get an education, those who deserve it? I'm also talking with Al Peterson, who's my engineer here, and I face him every week as we do the show, but he's also a professor, a teacher at a local college. What college do you teach at?
It's Montgomery College in Rockville, Maryland.
And you've been there for how long?
14 years.
14 mm-hmm. years.
As adjunct faculty.
Yeah. What about young people? Do you find that they are as exciting about being you think, in a community college as they would be at Maryland State or one of the other larger colleges?
It's mixed. It's mixed. I know a lot of them will pipe out of that school and then head to some of the larger ones. Once they've qualified, they've got some of the some of the elective things out of the way, some of the courses, and especially in the core, what they want to be able to study. Like I teach radio and television production, and the ones that are there are enthusiastic about it, and they'll jump to a school which is properly equipped with just huge amounts of equipment, huge curriculum. And from the outset, they know it's going to be a slow, rough start, and they're just thrilled to be doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't get often probably a chance to talk to the president of the university there at the college.
Never have.
But you have here. There she is. Any questions for any questions for Barbara?
Can I have a raise?
Hey, Barbara.
I will pass that along to your president.
Yeah, then Barbara.
To update the resume then, I guess.
Yeah, we talk about why we pass up the colleges and go, to the big schools and pay the money. But you're also interested in why do we have to pay for college at all, aren't you?
Well, I'm particularly interested in making community colleges tuition-free because we've talked, Paul, about choices. So your children chose to go to big colleges with very high tuition bills. But there are people at the lower end of the spectrum, people who are in the bottom 25%, and they don't have a lot of choices, and they're not choosing to go to a community college, not because they're going to Franklin and Marshall, but because they can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And even though there are financial aid programs like Pell, those programs have lost value over the last 20 years, 40 years. And so we're not tapping the potential of a whole segment of our population who could be filling the hundreds of thousands of job vacancies because they just don't see a pathway to college. And if we made it free, we would allow those people to come to school and then either transfer or go directly into the workplace.
How do you make it free? In our system, how do you make something free like this? I agree with you. I think it ought to be. I can't imagine why we're graduating kids out of colleges with huge debt every year to get an education, to get something that's going to benefit the nation. I don't get that.
Well, and remember, I said tuition free because, of course, it's not free. It means that there needs to be a considerable public investment. And in Maryland, for example, that would probably be between $60 and $70 million just in year one, and then you'd have to double that. But if you look at it as a combination of federal and state resources, and sometimes even local resources, because there are examples of cities and counties that have these kinds of programs. It's an investment. And then when students leave those colleges, they earn more, they spend more, and they pay higher taxes. And so the return on investment we looked at in Maryland was going to be 8.2%. And if you can get that kind of money anywhere else, let me know. That's a great return on investment. And in Maryland, for example, 92% of the students stay in Maryland. So Maryland invests and Maryland gets back. And there is a cost. It's an upfront cost, but the recovery is phenomenal. And I'd also say that it's ongoing because when you educate one person, their children are more likely to think of college in their future, their children, and we see that over and over again. So you're changing one life and a family life and then ultimately a community and a larger area. And that's, you can't even put a value on that.
Absolutely not. And Alan and Barbara, I don't know the number of colleges. Do either of you know how many community colleges we have just in the state of Maryland? I don't.
16. There are 16 in Maryland.
16 colleges. Well, look, they're out there. And if they want more information about your college, how do they reach out to Chesapeake?
Oh, they could certainly go to our website, which is www.chesapeake.edu.
I know you got a lot of work to do, Barbara. I thank you for stopping for a moment to take time to join us here on Home and Family Finance. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. And Al, thank you for tuning in there with a little real-life experience.
Oh, you got it.
All right. This is Home and Family Finance. We're here every week. We hope you'll join us. We talk about things that affect you, and we'll do that next week at the same time. Have a great week.